Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast, episode 776 for the week of July 19th, 2025. I'm Chris Privateer. We're back from a little hiatus where Andy and I went on vacation, and so couldn't really do the shows. And now I'm back, and we're doing a show. Joining me today, Kelly Ryan.
Coming out of a haze. I went on a bender.
Yeah?
Okay. I'll talk about it in my
Okay. All right. And Robert Albright.
Racing the horse girls along with Chris.
Yep. There's a lot. The horse girls thing came out. It's been a thing. Yeah. It's been a thing.
It's a lot more fun than you gave me all the crap about.
It's like a good roguelike. Oh my gosh. So.
Except Gotcha too.
Yeah. I went away on my vacation, and I played like Diablo 4 for most of the week, and finished up most of the stuff I care about on season 9. And if you're wondering at home, season 9 is very much like season 11 or season 8, but this time the number is 9. And there's a few, you know, improvements here or there, nothing major. And no, it's a dog this time.
Okay.
It's like a hell dog. So anyway, I played enough to get that and to finish up the I have so much platinum on my account that I did the battle pass, the normal battle pass, so I've collected all that and then said, all right, I've done everything I care about of the season journey and everything, and I'm done. And I'm just done with Diablo 4 again after a week. Then I started playing the horse girl game because that came out. So, and I guess it had come out already. I don't know when it came out.
It had come out in Japan in 2021.
No, I mean, I played it, and I think it had already been out for a week or so by the time I started playing it, is what I meant. So, Tam, I didn't know this game was a roguelike.
It's a little bit of a roguelike, yeah.
So, okay. The game's been a hit over here, as far as I can tell. People are actually streaming it and talking about it on YouTube and stuff. I don't know how it's ranking versus like mainstream games, but like it's definitely finding its niche and its audience, and it's a thing, and it's not gross. So it's not like Nikkei. It's not exploiting any like young girls, as far as I can tell. It's just like, these are the little horse girls. They're in college. You're their trainer. You help them do races. And
High school.
Oh yeah. Sorry. Whatever. They're in high school. Which is part of why it's not gross, because why would you do that with underage kids? But like also the, gameplay is like any like horse raising simulator. If you've ever played one of those where you like try to, you know, you pick a mom, you pick a dad, you try and pass down high stats to the kid, and then you train them to like be good at racing and win lots of races. And then you can have even stronger horse kids descend from that horse. And that's a genre that's pretty or at least traditionally has been pretty popular in Japan. And it's interesting to see it applied to this style of gacha game.
A month or two ago, one of the top earning gacha games, according to Sensory Tower, which is not always accurate, it was an actual horse racing simulator.
Oh, okay.
So this does not surprise me. This is just that with anime girls.
Can I ask you a question? Is gacha spelled with a T or no? Is it G-A-C-H-A or G-A-T-C-H-A?
G-A-C-H-A.
Okay, thank you. So confused. And of course, if I search for horse racing simulator gacha game on Google, all that comes back is Umamusume. So that's the horse girl game. I don't see any other things. But also, I'm on English Google, so we don't have a lot of those over here. So anyway, if you've ever played one of those horse racing games, like the most I've interacted with those is like at old game expos, so like Midwest Gaming Classic, where there's a lot of retro games, you'll see a lot of the import games are like horse racing, horse racing, horse racing, and nobody can play them in English.
Train Simulator too.
Yeah, Train Simulator. But nobody, you can't read them, and so it makes it very hard to do any of the stats raising or understand what's going on. So we don't play those. They never got localized here, but you see them a lot. And so the only other place I've really interacted with them is when I visited Japan. I went to some of the Sega arcades, and they had these giant like arcades that like, with multi-seat setups where you sit there and like raise, you put the money in the arcade machine, it spits out a printed paper card that is your horse, and you like, you put it in there and like you pay some number of dollars to do the career of your horse and try and make it stronger and some set number of races, and then you can keep the card with you and like it gets stronger over time, or eventually you can, you know, breed it with other horses, etc., etc. So like it's a thing in Japan, and it's kind of cool in that regard, but like I've never found it over here except in a couple arcades that have really old versions of that, like very, I've seen it a couple places here in the US, and then but other than that, like there's not really like a popular game that's like that I've seen like on Steam or in consoles that people actually play that's like that, but this is like that, and except they want you to pay money as well. Tam, I have not spent any money on the Horse Girl gacha game, and I feel very good about that. However,
okay.
I'm at the point. I'm dumb. I need better horse mommies. I need better horse mommies, Tim. Like, the horses I'm breeding, they can't win all the races reliably. I'm out of alarm clocks. I've been mismanaging my alarm clock. I can't finish runs sometimes that are really close. I need better stats. I need better inherent. I don't have three blue spark horse girls yet, Tim. I need more, and I can't. It's driving me crazy. I can't play this game anymore, but also I need the better mommies so I can make better horses. This is too much. And then you play. Oh, let me, before you jump in there and give me tips. Okay, here's how this works. So obviously I'm a degenerate gambler at this point. Well, not really, because I'm not spending any real money. But gambler. I'm a degenerate addict of this gacha game at this point, and I am seriously close to burning out and just uninstalling it from all the things and being like, that was fun, time to move on. But also I don't wanna. But so here's how this works. You get from the gacha machine with your free carrots. By the way, the premium currency is called carrots.
Because of course it is.
Because of course it is. But it's spelled like the jewelry term carrot.
And they look like jewels.
Yeah, so they're jeweled carrots. So you get the free carrots, you put them in the machine, you get 10 horse girls. The horse girl, basically, it doesn't matter which one you want to play with, just pick, phrasing, it doesn't matter which one you want to train, just pick your favorite. And that's fine, because they all vary. Some are a little bit easier to train in some scenarios than others, but really it's like, who's your favorite character to train? The real thing that matters is the support cards, because those are what build into like giving you stat boosts and helping you get that horse girl to the stat thresholds she needs to be at to win her races later in her career and eventually win the overall scenario races, which have the highest stat requirements in the scenario. And there's some variations, like, is this a medium length horse or a long hip? And I mean, like, the amount of the length of the races, is this a long race runner, is this a sprinter, you know? So like you get to like play around with that, and like sprinters you focus more on speed, the long race ones you need support cards that boost stamina more, so there's some of that. But then
guts
is garbage. You need 350 guts and ignore it for other than that. Okay, so other than what the scenario after you've, okay, so the gacha really is about getting you to spend money to level up these trainer support cards. All right, that's the temptation, and there's a whole event out right now, Kitazan Black. Everyone's Kitazan Black for max limit break. You want to spend all the things, all your carrots, to get Kitazan Black and fully maxed out, and like she's because she's going to be the best support card you have for the next 3 years apparently. All right, fine, that's the gacha element, but let's throw that aside, because the game's actually fun to play even if you ignore the gacha stuff, even if you're not good at the gacha stuff, because you don't actually need these top end PvP statted horses in order to, you know, finish the scenario. A lot of it is somewhat luck and so much strategizing. So what this game is you pick your horse lady that you want to train, you pick the support cards, which is where they're going to try and tempt you to spend money, and once you're past that, it's a choose your own adventure every turn. Do I raise this stat, or do I rest? Eventually your horse girl runs out of energy, needs to rest, or you can keep training at high risk of injury, which then takes multiple turns to really get rid of through various, like going to the infirmary. And then instead of training, is like the potential benefits from training low this week, maybe I should run a race instead because that gets me more skill points. And so there's so many detailed little stat things and skills to earn and interactions and to think about.
And random events
that happen. And sometimes those random events can like just set your horse girl up to like fly through these scenario races and succeed, and sometimes they don't. So in it, each run you start from the same stats for that girl, like her base stats, and then you have to raise her up, and you can choose to do it differently. And they're like, do I focus more on speed or focus more on stamina? And based on that, and like which events am I choosing? Am I trying to level up all the friendships so that I can get the rainbow training events because those have bonus stat boosts in them? Or am I trying to just focus on leveling up the training for stamina and speed specifically so they get to level 5, so even the base returns on that without the friendship training is higher? And do I do this race here and like... or do I just not do the races because then I won't have skill points that I can use to buy like extra bonus skills that can kind of smooth over areas that you're lacking in this girl's stat pool for this run? Or do I focus on just the training itself because it's going to even out eventually? Do I take risks early on because I just need to get through some of these early races at lower ranks or lower places, like not necessarily winning, but just, you know, scraping by, because I'm going to have then a gap that lets me train up and just blow through the stat requirements for the later half of her run? And it's like, it's just this weird roguelike run thing going on. And that's the part that I didn't expect in this game. It's actually interesting. It's actually fun, except when you start to get to that ceiling of, all right, I've played this a few times. I've gotten good at it. Now, if I really want to push forward and have a horse girl that's got like the really good stats to help make sure that any future girl that I make, the breeding. So in this game, there is no breeding, but there's totally breeding. You pick two horse girls to inspire the horse girl that's going to be the main character of your run. And that you can just, in a normal horse raising game, it'd be the mother and the father. But here, since we don't have any of that, we just have inspiration. They're your friends that inspire you to perform well. But their stats decide how well you're going to do. So it's like horse genetics. So, but anyway, Tam! Why did you let me get it? Make free me. I can't do this anymore. Help.
I'm sorry.
Sounds like you have a problem.
I do.
At least it's not him ranting about POE.
I've played nothing but this game since I put Diablo 4 Season 9 down, so that's like 2 weeks. I need to stop. I need to stop before I start spending money, because that is not going to end well. Now, I really don't think I'm going to spend money, like, because every time I even think about it, like, sure, the temptation's there, but I'm like, nope, I'm good. I've done the gacha thing before. I know where that ends up. It's nowhere good. You're going to spend money. You're going to get a boost now. And, 3 months from now or 6 months from now, they're going to release an update, and all the stuff you spent money trying to get is not going to matter anymore, except for Kita's on Black. And then you just, it's a waste. Don't do it.
Yeah. So, I actually have played the Japanese version of this. Before it released, in 2024, it's basically still the same as when it released to 2024. It still basically plays the same. So they've just released new finale events,
and there's the second anniversary breeding update, which changes how the stat inheritance and stuff works to some degree, and the affinity system for that. And then they give you ways to stat up your horse or something like that. I don't know, but whatever. I don't know. Tam.
You've been enjoying the memes, though.
Yeah, the memes have been great. So, like, what's fun about this is, like, everyone's enjoying the game, right?
Let me just say, it's a fun... I play Nikkei, and we know I play Nikkei. Nikkei's depressing. This one's fun. It's energetic. The characters are colorful.
Everything's wholesome. So, it's all anime stereotypes, but everyone's interactions are wholesome, is what I would say.
Yeah.
So... there is a little bit of that, like, oh, this is the nerdy girl. Oh, this is the klutz girl. Oh, this is the pushes herself too hard girl. Oh, this is the yandere girl and stuff like that. But so there is that. But everyone's interactions, everyone's friendly and nice and helpful. And that feels nice. And then there's the poor little horse who's based on a horse that never won a race in her life other than a post-retirement like exhibition race. And that's Haru Urara. And everyone loves her. Because she, no matter what place she gets, when she ends a race, she smiles and says, I had a really fun time and I enjoyed that. She races for the love of the racing. And everyone wants her to win all the things. To the point where the darn stable that actually owns that horse, she's 29 now. So she's at the end of her life. They put up a page where you could buy her treats, and people have sent her like 3 tons of grass, like literally 3 tons of grass. Now they portion it out, but like,
okay,
that's like girls got it good for a while.
I was going to say, like, is this little horse just like a chonk now? The way you described it, it sounded like when people have like a treat dispenser for their cat cam.
No, but like, yeah,
totally. Like,
well, cause if you actually did that with, especially with horses, if you gave them that much grass, they would get colic and die. So you can't actually do that. So like, but so they ration it out, and there's other types of feed she gets, and you can. But anyway, like the treat is grass,
so,
and that's
here's the interesting thing about going to this race that she won in retirement. Chris, how old is the horse?
29.
She won the race last month.
No, she won it in 2019, Tam. That was a misunderstanding on the person retweeting the tweet. So it was 2019. Well,
still.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's still 25 years old for a horse.
Probably six, so 23. But yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a light race. Like, so this isn't like... It's not a real race, all right?
So,
but she did win it. It was the first win she had. And it matters to people because, like... If you were into the horse racing scene in Japan, you knew this horse, and everyone started, like, just like we're cheering her on in this game, like, people for real life, they, like, cheered on this horse that just ran and never won because, you know, her spirit and of never giving up, like...
Yeah, she never gave up. People. She was also just always... She came across as a very positive horse on the racetracks in real life.
Okay.
So, she also had this cute little Hello Kitty knitted mask that someone made her.
Yep. And her outfit in the game is theorized to be based on that Hello Kitty design style, but whatever. It doesn't matter. Yeah, without the Hello Kitty, because that's, you know, yeah. Anyway, so that's been the thing. We've got horse memes, and we have three horses that keep showing up in the memes that I can think of. We have Haru Urara. And we have two, and we have Goldship, and
Bakushin also
does
shows
Bakushin.
Up.
Okay, so Bakushin is the horse who just says her name over and over like a Pokemon, except that's the way she talks, and she's excited, and she does everything 110% and shouts Bakushin while doing it, and even has a theme song that's just the words Bakushin, Bakushin, Bakushin. Over and over for like a minute and a half. That's the name. That's the song. It's like if you were watching Naruto and Naruto put out a music video saying "Databayo" over and over. It's weird and it grows on you. It's strange. But then we have Goldship. That's based on a real life horse as well. He's male. He's still alive. He's apparently really good at making baby horses at a very high percentage success rate. And so people are learning about him, being like, oh my, what a stud. So that's his memes. That's what those are about.
Apparently, he retired healthier than many racehorses. And the growing understanding is that Goldship didn't give a shit about his running. He just didn't care.
He is the in-game character is a total weirdo slash troll slash crazy person, and the horse seems to not be too far removed from that. Like, it kicked, just randomly will kick you and stuff. Like, you got to be careful around it. There's this event where it like tried to climb over the starting gate to the horse next to it and ended up causing both those horses to miss the start of the race and lose the race. And what was it, 20 billion yen incident, I think is what it's, or the 12 billion yen incident. Like, that's how many people bet on that horse, and he threw it away because he just couldn't behave himself while in the starting block. So like, that's one of the meme horses. This horse that everyone's sending grass to is another one. People are making fan art of the horse that's getting grass, of like, you know, Fortnite airdrops of grass falling in front of this anime character, and then she's like, where's all this food coming from? This is the best. It's weird. The fans like the game. Yeah.
I mean, people who, I sent you the thing of Grand Pooh Bear streaming it. Mm-hmm. And Grand Pooh Bear is not known for, like, anime-style games. Mm-hmm. He's a Mario speedrunner. Like, that is what he is known for. Now, he does play other games, but not this.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm, yeah.
It's something. I'm good. This is a game.
Yeah, it's a thing, man. It is a thing.
Speaking of speed running, we tried to see you in the crowd during the Final Fantasy IX run.
Did you not? I've got a screenshot of it. I should share. But yeah, so Andy and I were at Games Done Quick last week, actually, or this, I guess, the week before last at this point. For part of our vacation. So we were hanging out there, and we got to sit in on the, we were in the audience for the Final Fantasy IX speedrun and some other stuff. I got to watch someone speedrun Bellatro again and meet up with some friends, and that was cool. Games Done Quick. It's pretty awesome. Raising money for charity, Doctors Without Borders, which is really important right now because a lot of charitable funding from the US got cut off. So we need to step in and help fill that gap.
Was it like $2.5 million?
Yeah, raised? Thereabouts, yeah.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah, right? And they're doing replays and stuff, so if you had a chance, if you like watching those speedruns, they're all on their YouTube channel now, so you can watch there, watch the reruns on the Twitch channel and stuff. It's good.
Boost gaming positivity.
I do like, my favorite run of the week is the ECW wrestling game. find that. It was hilarious. Like, to the point they actually had wrestling skits during the thing, and it was great. So definitely catch that run. That's my recommended run from GDQ. All right, Tam, how much money you spent?
About 100.
That's not bad. That could go way worse. That's not bad.
I did the two premium starter pack things.
Yeah, the ones that are meant to hook you into spending money. Yeah,
and then I'm doing the monthly, and that's it. That's okay. All I've spent.
Sure, makes sense. How so? What have you gotten up to? How much? How have you? I don't even know what to ask. How do you compare progression in this game?
The ratings of your horses. And
are you are you playing the U.S. version? Or are you sticking to the Japanese?
No. I could not understand how to play the Japanese one, so I gave that up a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
This is making a lot more sense now of what I'm playing and what I need to do. But I've only spent give or take 100.
Okay.
Cool. It's right around there.
Do you have any additional thoughts on the game from beyond what I said? Like, are you enjoying it differently than me or anything? Or
oh no, I'm pretty much in the exact same boat. It's because the biggest issue I have has been cards, but I mean, I've gotten lucky with some of the cards I have, and then I like my sprinters are fine. I'm actually I have the medium. I have the medium and long distance horses. I just don't have the right skill combinations and cards to really support them. Because I have one good stamina card, and it's Mejuro McQueen, aka Big Mac. And the only, and unfortunately, Mejuro McQueen is one of the best long distance and medium horses, so I can't use her.
Can't use it on her. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't use it on her. So I'm just like, ah.
Actually, still don't have McQueen as a horse girl. It's to that to be able to use in runs. So I've been doing my long runs with, I think Goldship and.
Yeah, but Goldship is risky.
Not vodka. Not vodka. It hasn't been too. I haven't found that Goldship actually training her to be more risky than anyone else.
I have actually had her lock. I've actually had the run where she fully locked out training completely.
Ooh, okay.
It sucks.
Yeah, that would stink. Yeah.
But I mean, but yeah, it's fun. It's colorful. And
because that comes up too, like they're in the world. In the world's lore, people do not bet on the horse girls, which really makes you wonder, like, why is there so much of an industry around? Like, we have track and field for humans, right? But like, we got a lot more of racing animals and betting on them. And like, how does this world sustain this industry if there's no money input from the people watching? I don't understand it. And that means I'm thinking about it too hard, and it doesn't matter because the creators didn't think about it this hard. That's the other thing. You have to just let this lore go. Like it does not hold up to scrutiny at all. And so just like enjoy the happy horse girls and see if they make you smile, and then move on and don't spend money on it because it's a gacha game and it doesn't respect your time.
I mean, I learned recently that there's only like one Greyhound track left in the United States.
Really? I didn't know that. Yeah.
And that industry is slowly dying out, and it kind of makes me wonder if the horse industry, the horse racing thing is going to go the same way, or if, I don't know, it's training horses is more ethical for some reason.
I mean, horse racing has been around a lot longer than dog racing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that it's necessarily more ethical, but I bet you there's more money behind it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was just an interesting thing that I learned. And
horse racing is huge here in New Mexico. We actually used, I don't think my lab does it now, but we used to do lab testing for various of the horse breeders. Mm.
I don't know where I was going with that. But you're right, there probably is a lot more money tied into horse racing. But I digress.
Well, that's all I've been playing. Tam, you've been playing anything else?
Yes. I mean, besides Nikkei, of course, with its summer event that has some mimics of combination of Doom and Ghostbusters.
You showed me the screen that they've got in that app for Doom. It's wild. Like,
yeah. Well, it's Boom. Remember, Boom. It's Boom.
Excuse me, yeah. Not Doom. Yeah, Boom.
Yeah, it is impossible to show that much under boob without having something pop out. I'm just going to point that out.
But also, it looks like the cover of Doom.
Yeah, it looks like the cover of Doom. That's where we're going with that one. But I have been streaming here Super Robot Wars Original Generation 2.
Okay.
It is. I know that sounds very confusing as a title.
That is, it does sound a little redundant, yes.
So, here is what happened. So, as any, English speaker should, gamer for the GBA era should know, there was Super Robot Wars Original Generation and Original Generation 2 that came out, released by Atlus. Do you vaguely remember that, Chris?
Yes.
Vaguely, okay. Yeah.
So, at some point, Banpresto took the two of them and combined them into and remade them for the PS2. And they renamed it Original Generations.
Mm.
And it was a two-pack. and it fixes some of the timeline issues that occurred because of new entries into the non-OG series, so that way they could add, you know, keep going with the OG series further. Well, so the first one is called Original Generations, and not just Original Generation.
Oh, goodness.
And then that's how come the later ones are Original Generations. And yeah, it's confusing as hell and people don't understand. So I'm just like, yeah, this is how it goes and good luck understanding it.
Is that, I mean, so you've been playing, wait, is it a re, you said PS2. So
yeah, it's a remake of the GBA ones on the PS2.
Okay, so you've been playing a PS2 game. All right.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, I thoroughly enjoy Super Robot Wars.
Yeah, so you're loving it, I bet. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm loving it as much as McDonald's.
Hey, I've technically been playing a PS2 game, too.
Oh, yeah? Which one?
So let me preface this. For JRPG July, I was having a bit of an existential crisis because I wrapped up Fantasy Life, and I did not know what I wanted to play for JRPG July. And I tried and abandoned a lot of Kimco games because we've got our Kimco backdrop coming up, and none of that was holding my interest. And then while I was putting away or sorting my Final Fantasy Magic cards, I had realized that the one Final Fantasy that I have never finished is 11.
Okay. Fair.
Do you technically finish 11?
There is a storyline that kind of tries to wrap it up. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just so happens that my YouTube was serving me like several Final Fantasy 11 retrospective videos.
Nice.
Including ones that recommended private servers. So I'm like, you know, that seems like a better way to
track.
Are
you a lawbreaker, Kelly? You breaking the terms of service?
Sure. I mean, I bought all of these on PS2 back in the day, yeah, and never got around to finishing any of them. So I'm now playing on the Cat's Eye server, and I have fully bendered this game. This is all I've played for 2 weeks while you guys were gone.
Nice.
Partially because it's Steam Deck compatible. It is actually very easy to get this on the Steam Deck. And
I find that hard to believe. They must have a different installer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you've got to do the same steps as you do with WoW, where you've got to put on Proton on your Steam Deck and do some finagling with the files.
Well, like the Play Online launcher would be a pain.
Yeah, this was also why I did a private server, so that I wouldn't have to deal with that. Mm. And Cat's Eye has its own launcher.
Okay.
And comes preloaded with a handful of mods just to make your life a little bit easier, yeah, like a mini map and kind of a better EXP UI and all of that fun stuff.
What if for the same mods that you could get for the real game?
I don't know.
There were some good casting mods and longer macro mods and stuff like that that were nice.
And the other thing that enticed me was that there's an accelerated, I mean, there's like a hardcore mode and a regular mode and an accelerated mode.
Ooh, that sounds good.
I made an accelerated character, and now I am rocking a level 60 Dark Knight sub job to Samurai. Though right now I'm running Dark Knight Red Mage because I needed access to invisibility and stealth. Because I just finished mission 4 last night, the Magicite mission. And I'm also trying to unlock the level 60 level cap, and you go to those exact same areas in those two missions. So you kind of got to, you're kind of encouraged to piggyback them. And I'm surprised, given how jank this game is, I'm surprised that I've stuck with it for this long. Because yeah, I forgot about the jank. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, they've added a lot of quality of life features, like being able to teleport around with crystals.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that was added after
Oh,
that
yeah.
was added in like 2013.
Yeah, it was a big deal. Which patch is this based on? Is it early FF11, late of most current FF11? Like
the level cap is 75.
Oh, okay.
It shows what expansions are on the menu.
Okay. No, I'll do my own research. I just was wondering if you knew, like, if it had the latest stuff. Because some of the accelerated experience stuff, they added a lot of that to, like, not to make it accelerated, but to make it real easy to get top-level gear to start, like, doing a lot of the older stuff on your own and solo it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know if, like, the private servers were doing the same thing or if they'd tried to make it more of a where you have to work together with others to still do that old content.
I mean, thus far, I've only grouped with people because we happen to be in the same area doing the exact same thing.
Sure. Did you raise a chocobo? You raise a chocobo, Kelly?
I have not raised a chocobo yet. Okay. I have gotten me a coral mount and a tiger mount because those were, I guess there's like a login campaign where you get points and you can get mounts. Mm-hmm. And those were the first two that I got because, of course, they're kitty cats. And I find it weird that my Mithra rides side saddle on the tiger mount.
Mm.
But it's nice to be able to just run around the area on your own private mount and not have to rent a chocobo every time.
Yeah.
What else? There was a bit of a learning curve. I started playing this on PC, and it's like the controls on this suck. And it's because it's optimized for a controller. Once I switched over to the Steam Deck and it pretty much default mapped everything, and it's like, oh, this is a much nicer experience.
Yeah, I would literally play that game typing in /magic the spell name and then the target name. Like it was an experience.
Like I have a little chat pad that I use to enter macros and talk with people, and Steam Deck owners, I recommend getting a little Bluetooth chat pad for especially if you're doing a lot of soft modding and stuff like that. It's very handy, and it's a lot easier than going and hunting down a keyboard and unplugging your dock and all of that annoying stuff. I did Dark Knight Samurai because the last time I played this, I tried to do Thief and noticed that I was very squishy and I wanted something a little bit tanky. And this combination, Dark Knight Samurai, does some wicked damage. Just make sure you have a good tank trust because the sacrifice is a lot of your defense. When I've got three attack buffs going on that kill my defense, I get pretty squishy pretty quick. But using the weapon skill Guillotine on my scythe, I've gotten my damage into the thousands, and it's so satisfying to pop that and watch an enemy's health bar just drop down by half.
Have you figured out how to do like the skill bursts with your trusts and with yourself?
I haven't figured any of that out yet. Like I said, I've been trying to go through the main story quest.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to rank 5 last night and got my airship pass. And the game was like, quick, go back to Winders, take the airship, it's faster.
Yeah.
And go to the airship dock. And it's like, the airship will be here in 1 hour, 3 minutes Earth time.
Yeah. Yep. Kelly, I tell you, the favorite thing I did in that game was just fishing between the Mahara and Salbina. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I like fishing. It's kind of chill. I will admit I wasn't that impressed riding the airship except for the beautiful music. Mm-hmm. It was like, well, at least the boat has like a little kiosk where you can buy stuff and you can fish off the dock.
And that's why once you earn the ability to teleport around, you won't use the airships.
Yeah, it was just like this was something that I had wanted to do. And when I played this on PS2 back in, 2006? that was like a very far off goal.
There is something lost in the modern MMO experience of shortcutting everything to having the world feel lived in by having to take transportation and waiting to get to your destination. I think that's a thing to preserve, but also I don't know how to make it hit well. You know?
Yeah, and I remember getting around was a pain in the ass in the original version mm-hmm. of the game. And I did have to hoof it to, because I started in Windurst because I'm a Mithra, and I did have to hoof it to Sandoria and Bastok to get the home points.
Yeah.
And back in the day, it felt like hoofing it was dangerous, and this time around it was like, oh, it's not that bad.
Because you're right, it was dangerous, and maybe it's things they've done on the server, but also the patches and making it easier to get equipment as you level up that mm-hmm. keeps you relevant. That makes it less dangerous and you can deal with things
and
better.
having my little posse of truts definitely helps.
Yeah, because you're bringing a party with you. You got a party in a box.
Because like one of the first ones you get as a Mithra is Kupipi, which is a healer. Which is kind of a nice thing to have around. Mm-hmm. And then I went around to the other cities to get their level one truss, and then you get two tanks from them. And that was all I had to run around with for like several levels. And then like once you start doing rank three, they're just throwing trusts at you left and right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting here listening like, man, I'd love to try this accelerated experience. But then what I remember is like, there are things in that game that took so much time just to unlock that have nothing to do with experience rates that I don't know that I want to go through them all again.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I almost rage quit the game last night because trying to do my level 60 limit break.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Things that are based on drop rate, too. Yeah.
This was like trying to get into an area with high level mobs all over you, and mm-hmm. I can take one.
Yeah.
If a second, it's like those crow people, the Yagudo.
Yeah.
If a second one aggroes me, it's like, well, I might as well just warp and start over. Because I'm trying to do.
That's why you're sneaking invis everywhere.
Yeah, that's why I subbed Red Mage temporarily. Yeah. Yeah. But. It's Castle, and I'm blanking on the name, Castle Orthia? Hang on.
Oh. Yeah, the castle with the bird people.
Yeah, Castle Oztrosia.
That has a terrible map, and it's confusing, and there's only one path to go to get you to like where you need to go. But also, it's easy to get confused. Am I here to go this way? Oh, wait, no, that's for a later mission. I need to go to this other... Oh, I went the wrong way. Now I have to start over. Oh, someone saw me. I got to die and start over.
This one sucks because you have to find passwords on a statue and the password changes every day.
Yeah.
Every in-game day, which is like you have an hour to run this. And then the last step is a bunch of, you have to light a torch around high level mobs so you can't invis. And I was going to almost rage quit, but then I was reading it this morning. It's like, oh, I don't have to light all four torches to get into the area where I need to input the password. I just have to light one torch.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that changes that. Literally,
good luck knowing that without reading a guide.
No, I had a guide open the whole time. Yeah. I'm just like I misread that step.
Mm-hmm.
This server also has like advanced maps unlocked that kind of show you things on the map.
Ooh.
Like the map that shows the password, or the map where you input the passwords literally has the different passwords on the map.
Oh, good.
You just have to input three of them randomly. Or, yeah, three of them generate randomly. And if you find the first two, which are actually easy to find, you can just brute force the third one, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So, and I have to admit, I like that some of the dungeons in this, like, have you actually searching for clues and... doing a lot more exploring and having puzzles and traps and stuff. Because it makes me feel a little bit more like Indiana Jones and less like, and WoW, where it's like you start the dungeon and it's just a drag race to get to the end. Even though I imagine some of this stuff caused some pretty righteous arguments back in
Yeah,
the
no,
day.
it did. Yes. All that stuff's annoying. It wastes your time. If you look away for a second and then you die, you have to start large sections over, and
Yeah.
it would hurt your soul over time. But then,
Yeah.
you got used to it, and then they gave you these power creep things later, and it's like, oh yeah, compared to how it used to be, I could do a lot more on my own, and this feels great in comparison. But it only feels great in comparison. It's still not great on its own.
I mean, I was having to do a quest in the necropolis, which has like nothing but undead creatures. And I was getting my ass kicked there. I think I was trying to get a specific drop from a witch. And I had to back out, go find a crossbow and some bolts. I just wanted like a level one crossbow, something that could hit from a distance so I could pull individual mobs out of a pack, and that solved the problem. I wish that my trusts weren't stupid as hell, because the lich kept making me go to sleep, and it's like, hey guys, can you hit the lich? I can't do anything, and yeah, not having control over your posse is a little frustrating. But yeah, like I said, I am surprised I didn't rage quit this the second that I was encountering the controlling issues. Because I was talking with Vaughn about it, and he was like, yeah, I tried to boot up like the free trial of 11 several years ago, and I noped out immediately because I forgot how jank this game is. And I'm like, yeah, it's definitely got some jank. Having a posse does help quite a bit. I'm not gonna lie. We'll see how long I keep going, because the story stuff has me so intrigued, especially after doing the rank 4 Magicite mission last night, which really brought some of the story stuff to light. I don't trust that Archduke of Juno. He's kind of a
That's
prick.
fair, yeah. Do you know how far away you are from the end of the story, though, Kelly? Like,
Probably very far.
you're just doing the first bit of story stuff that came with the base game. You have so many expansions to go through, Kelly.
I know. And I really want to do Wings of the Goddess, because I dabbled into that a little bit, and that has Cait Sith.
It sure does.
And it seemed kind of interesting.
It
And the story seems kind of interesting.
Yeah, look, now I have spoilers I could say, but I won't. But yeah, there's some interesting stuff going on in that story involving Ketchy.
So we'll see how much longer I stick with this. I'm probably gonna take a break from it after JRPG July is over, just because there is other stuff that I want to play. I didn't want to play this all the time because I needed to give my Steam Deck a rest, so I booted up Dragon Quest Monsters for the Switch,
Oh.
and that's just been my bedtime chill out game. And I just unlocked Monster Fusion in that, and I'm obsessed with going and creating a bunch of monsters and then taking them back to the base and fusing them together and see what better monsters I can get. Although, people in that world are kind of jerks, because the main character is Sorrow from Dragon Quest IV, who was I think the ant one of the antagonists.
He was the main villain, barring the DS version.
Yeah, And, you know, his story is that he's half monster and is cursed that he can't directly hurt monsters because he was trying to get revenge on his monster father, and his father cursed him. So that's why he's training monsters. And a lot of the human characters are just complete jerks to him. And you get an elf character that kind of follows you around, and people are jerks to her. But like when they first show her, somebody is whipping her to get her to cry because she cries rubies.
Yeah, apparently. That was part of the storyline of DQ4. That the elves, in the beginning, yeah, that's not happening. But later on, she gets kidnapped from that tower and is whipped to death to shed her tears for rubies.
Yeah, I haven't played Dragon Quest IV in a long time, so I didn't remember any of that. That was like 2000... When did I start dating Vaughn? It was like 2008, I want to say, when the DS version of 4 came out. I'm hoping that after they do the HD remakes of 1 and 2... Or Dragon Quest 1, 2, and 3, that they'll start working on the Super Nintendo trilogy. 3, 4, and 5. No, wait, 4 wasn't on Super Nintendo, was it? That was a late release for
NES.
NES, yeah. But I'm definitely sticking with Dragon Quest Monsters because I wanted a nice turn-based RPG, and I love the Monsters series, and we have a backtrack coming up for DQ Monsters. I think that's in... Yeah, it's December because we were doing Dragon Quest December. So yeah. I found out that Scar plays on Cat's Eye.
Oh, you should play together.
Yeah, he DM'd me. The name was RP Gamer because he streams it. And nice. I was like, oh, hey. And I'm glad somebody said something first, because I'm going to be like, wait, is somebody like stealing our name on this private server? Oh, no, it's somebody from our site that we know. Okay.
I don't know. Are we allowed to stream that? We probably shouldn't.
There's several people that stream Cat's Eye from what I've heard.
All right.
The opening splash screen where you can mess with your settings and add-ons and stuff usually have how many players are online, and it's around 500.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So just enough to have people to play with, but not enough to make Squeenix kind of notice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that. They may notice, but they're not Nintendo. They're not as bad as Nintendo.
I was thinking like how Blizzard shut down Nostradamus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that
quickly.
Although they have not canceled that one that has all the ads about. Oh yeah, it's basically World of Warcraft, but you can like customize everything. I've seen those ads all over the place on YouTube.
And you know, who knows if they shut down Nostradamus because they were working on the classic servers and were being just kind of mum about it because they didn't want to get people's hopes up.
How come I don't see these ads? I don't get ads for... Oh, right. I'm subscribed to premium. Why would I see ads? Like, I'm missing out on private server opportunities because I don't see YouTube ads. That's a thing. That's so weird to me.
Yeah,
And I almost didn't even bring up, wasn't even going to bring up the fact that I'm playing on a private server until I found out Scar was streaming it.
Just want a new good MMO. Can we have that?
I know.
The answer apparently is no.
It's pretty much WoW all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
I tried so there's a collector's bounty thing going on right now where they've increased the drop rate to certain mounts to a whopping 5%.
Ooh. That's a buff, and, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just must have bad luck because I've run Dragon Soul every week since then and haven't had my Blazing Drake drop. And then friends of mine have like gotten every rare mount that's available.
I mean, 5% means you're being asked to crit in D&D, right? So it's not going to be that common.
I just figured that it would be a little bit more common.
They lied to you, Kelly.
They did. They did. And then it's turned out that some people have done the math and think that the buff isn't applying right to certain mounts.
I mean, that happens sometimes, right?
Yeah.
That's always the worst, when they have to prove to Blizzard that the thing isn't working.
Microsoft.
And WoW's kind of going through a controversy right now because they're switching the bank inventory to be static instead of just equipping bags to your bank.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, is this like when they reduce the cost of the banks?
Something like that, yeah, but you're getting 6 static tabs with 98 slots each, but then some people did the math and it's like only a net gain of like 30 slots.
Okay.
And the void storage is going away and the reagent tab.
Oh. Oh.
Which I don't understand that.
No,
I understand the void storage.
Yeah, void storage was just a temporary solution for transmog. I do not understand the reagent tab going away. So I don't know. I think 6 slots plus a reagent. Well, and they're justifying it because they're saying that the base bank is going to work like the reagent tab. Because I guess the warband bank works like that too. If you guys had heard about the warband bank.
Yeah. I've used that.
Yeah. So I don't know. Vaughn and I were talking about like 14. Or not, I'm sorry. I knew I was going to do that at least. But Vaughn and I were talking about Final Fantasy XI versus WoW. And it kind of amazed me that Final Fantasy XI never added any more races outside of just the base 5. And he said, well, because WoW came out shortly after 11 came out, and WoW was so revolutionary that we both kind of imagined that Square kind of started development on 14 at that point because it was easier just to start over instead of try to retrofit 11 into WoW experience.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I'm not sure how well that worked out for them, because wasn't the original 14 like
bad?
Kind of 11 2.0?
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Remember, we had a whole
the same people who made
11 that.
Made 14 at first, and it was not the best.
I mean, not that specific conversation, Vaughn, but we talked about it like when I started this endeavor. Yeah, last night when we was driving to get pizza, we were talking about how WoW had vastly more interesting races to pick from the start, since you got to pick quote-unquote bad guy races.
Mm-hmm.
And how I didn't really start playing Alliance until the Worgen came out, because I thought all of the Alliance races were just so boring. But yeah, I'm having quite fun adventures with my little Death Knight cat girl.
Nice.
I got some of the artifact armor for Dark Knight, and she kind of looks like Batman.
Okay.
No.
Well, shall we move on to feedback?
Yeah. What did we ask? What's your JRPG July?
Yeah.
Let's see. From Shaman, for JRPG July, I'm going to be doing a full run of Pokemon Violet Working Edition.
Working Edition?
That you're playing it. You're saying that you're playing it on Switch 2?
Actually functional this time edition. Yeah, that makes sense. I wonder how that went for them. I forgot a game I played, Kelly.
Oh, you did.
I played through Cyrael inspired me to do this. Like, I did another 4-job Fiesta run this year. Using the Pixel Remaster version this time. And it went all right. I did Berserker Risk and one of the new job selection options that kind of biased it towards the Earth and Water Crystals. And I ended up with, what was it? Red Mage, Time Mage, Blue Mage, and Samurai, and not the worst combo. I could, when all else fails, I could throw money at my problem, literally, which was great.
In Final Fantasy V, I mean, that is a very valid strategy.
It for sure is.
Beating most of the game.
It doesn't work the best on the last boss, though.
No.
Yeah. The last boss has some abilities that do a certain amount of damage, and none of those classes have tons of HP, so I had to do some grinding at the end just to survive the X-Death fight. But I got through it, and I got a cool screenshot that I put up on my socials where Cryo looks like she's wearing sunglasses as we kill X-Death, and it's great.
Nice.
Yeah. No, that was cool.
I'll bet doing that on the Pixel remaster is a lot more bearable.
Mm-hmm. You can turn off encounters.
Because I tried to do it on the Game Boy Advance version, and gosh, my rolls were awful.
Mm.
I got Beastmaster, Berserker, basically two of the worst classes that you could get.
Berserker is good for level grinding, though.
Yeah, my... I got soft locked at that one fight where you had to take out four crystals at the same time.
Ooh, okay. Yep.
Because you do not want a character that you can't control for that fight.
Yeah.
That sucked.
Air Frog's like straight to the glue factory.
Yeah, my for people watching the stream, my horse girl just lost the race, and that just killed the run. And that's frustrating because she won the previous race by a giant margin. And then the next one, she just loses by a giant margin. It's the variance is frustrating.
But
makes it interesting. But like
the medium, as you know, that's the issue I'm having. The medium and long runners are the ones I'm having the most issue with.
Yep.
Sprinters are easy because I have so many good speed cards.
Yeah.
But the medium and long distance runners need a lot more variety of stats than the sprinters.
Yeah.
Which is where the cards come in.
All right. So I think that brings us to news then, right?
Beat me in.
Sorry, I got carried away.
No, we do have a lot of news, so if there's anything we don't want to comment on, we can move on. I'm gonna try to move through these fairly fast. So Lunar is getting the Lunar Remastered Collection, rather, is getting the Althina's Treasure Box, which is basically a collector's edition without the game, for $60. And you can pre-order it now through Hori USA. Oh, I guess this already lapsed. Darn. Well, it's also available to pre-order in Europe through Clear River Games. The box set does not contain a copy of the game, but does include an extra large t-shirt with the pixelated characters, a medium-sized mouse pad.
Well, if this thing has already passed, I say we move on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, you could still get it somewhere else, though, Tam. Right?
It doesn't say if we can or cannot, actually.
Oh, all right. So go check it out, see if you can still get it. Sorry if you missed it.
Yeah, I'm annoyed that I missed it. I should read the news more often.
Speaking of games I missed, wait, I'm confused. Is this a remake or a new...
This is the Lunar Remasters that just came out.
No, the next story, Tam.
Oh.
Hooded Horse to publish Heroes of Might and Magic Olden Era?
Yeah, it's called Olden Era, which makes me think like it's a repackaging of like 1, 2, or 3. But no, it's a new game.
Huzzah!
And it looks neat. Who's developing this? We've had issues with Might and Magic developers lately.
Unfrozen. They have done a game called Erotis.
That sounds like a sex game.
It's not.
Oh, with an I. Iratus, maybe.
Iratus, maybe? Okay.
Lord of the Dead, it looks... I don't know. It looks like Darkest Dungeon in its presentation, but I don't know anything about it. Okay. But now Wow, that other game they did is only $3 right now. Anyway, so the Might and Magic game is early access? No, release date later this year. Coming soon to early access. Oh, they're gonna early access it. Interesting.
Yeah, it does look Darkest Dungeon.
The previous game, not Might and Magic. Yeah. The Might and Magic looks like Heroes of Might and Magic. So I'm sure it'll be very pretty to look at, and then you'll play it and get frustrated with the AI having 8 times the units you have, even though you think you did everything right. It'll be great.
I'm actually going to buy iRatus. That looks interesting.
Cladon time, or what is it? Cladon X3?
Cladon Classic Cladun. Dungeon.
It's coming west this year. This is the fourth game in the series and is coming for PC, PS4, and 5, and Switch. And I have tried to play this series, and it is one of the most complicated things I have ever tried to play. It seems like it's going to be simple on paper, but then it's got systems upon systems upon systems, and I have never been able to figure it out.
All right.
But you can enjoy it. Does it have a release window? On September 18th. Oh, I'm sorry, wrong story. When does this come out?
Later this year. We don't have a date.
Later this year. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I couldn't close. I was looking at the images and I couldn't close them because the X button was off my monitor.
Oh, no. Try the escape key. That should get you out of it, too.
Okay. Toa and the Guardians of the Sacred Tree comes out on September 18th on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, and Switch. This is Bandai Namco and Brownie Inc.'s isometric action roguelite. Kind of looks like, I want to say it kind of looks like Hades.
Yeah, it looks a little bit like Hades, but with a more Eastern flair from what it looks like.
And I don't know, the trailer shows off like this samurai lady and a really grown-up Magikarp fighting things.
And then we've got another story showing off Origami and Shijin. Origami has a big old paper hat on, and Shijin looks like a fox person.
Okay.
So, yay. I'll have to check that out. Where Winds Meet has had its final closed beta announced on July 24th.
Okay.
You can register now until July 24th.
This trailer is very high quality graphics, and there's a birdie and some lady doing calligraphy. And what does this have to do with the game? I have no idea.
It looks like it might be Souls-ish, maybe?
Really?
It's hard to tell from the screenshots that are on Steam.
And I imagine there's no gameplay in this trailer. Let's see. Let's go forward. We're going to get to gameplay. No, we got the bird. Now we have people dancing. And now, a lady. And then, okay, nothing. All right, cool. The final test. Or the final test for the winds, where winds meet. Which is going to happen in 5 days.
I think the only person on staff that played Anthem with any sort of enthusiasm was Josh.
I didn't know you could still play Anthem.
Well, soon you can't.
I didn't. It is
shutting down.
I heard this story while I was on vacation. I'm like, wait, Anthem is still online?
Yeah, they didn't shut it down. They just kind of left it in sort of like a maintenance mode.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Anthem, like their Destiny or EA's.
Yeah. Well, but like, yeah,
EA's. Get this. This is like Destiny. One of those like live service games is dead sort of things where like it's going offline. It's going to be removed from EA Play. Like, are you going to be able to? Is there a single player mode to this thing? Is it online only and it's just gone?
It's online only.
So this game will be dead. And while I think the majority of people won't miss it, but this like really underscores the need for initiatives like Stop Killing Games.
Yeah.
Or stop making live service games.
Well, that's an alternative route we could take, but Stop Killing Games is probably going to be more likely to get through the industry. Yeah, okay.
But I mean, it's expensive. But on the flip side, it's expensive to run those servers. It's expensive to keep all, especially if you don't have the players, to
Well,
justify it.
no, but stop
See.
killing games doesn't mean like keep running it. It means like when you're planning the game,
When you're
plan to,
sunsetting a game, or well, one, making sure games have a sunsetting policy so that they
of some
don't
sort.
so that they don't just you go to play it one day and it's gone. And I also thought it was more for games with single player elements like Diablo
Yeah, it's
4
for
or
all
3.
games. But like,
Okay.
yeah, that would be the
I'll be
easy
right
way
back.
for something like Diablo 4 would just be to offer single player mode. For Anthem, probably what would need to be done would be, but and again, this wouldn't Stop Killing Games wouldn't apply to it because it's not retroactive. But like, were it to be out in a Stop Killing Games world, like they would just probably plan on releasing the server code or something like that, so people could run their own servers. Whether or not people would is a whole other discussion. What else we
Yeah,
got?
that was a rabbit hole I got down this week.
Everyone went down the Stop Killing Games pirate software rabbit hole. I've been watching so many videos about that. It's been insane. What else we got? Cards RPG?
Yeah, it's getting a physical release.
Okay.
Who is releasing it?
Have to see what it's about. So it's a deck building thing. Let me guess. Is it a deck building roguelike?
From the looks of it, it sounds like it.
I mean, it's definitely deck building. It's got a skill tree. It's gonna have a physical version, and it is turn-based strategic combat. So that's interesting. So physical release this fall for PS5 and Switch. The game itself already came out like in May of 2024 for PlayStation and PC and Switch. So, neato. I don't know if it's any good. Do we have a review of it? I'll have to check later.
Mandragora, Whispers of the Witch Tree adds a new game plus mode. This is a Metroidvania. And the new game plus adds three new weapons and has some quality of life upgrades.
This is a Metroidvania that's definitely going with a Souls-like vibe. Like that sort of art style and music. But being a Metroidvania means you could probably level up and be able to deal with stuff better. It looks neat.
The Mirthwood co-op update is arriving this week. I say this week, it's already passed. The Mirthwood co-op update are available now on Steam.
So it is a non-linear progression, open world, building homestead, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, NPC relationship, and now you can play with your friends while you do it.
Yay. Anima Gate of Memories 1 and 2 is getting a physical release. I see this game on like PSN all the time and I have no idea what it's about.
Anima, if it is the one I am thinking of, let me, which I think it is.
It looks like an action RPG.
It is based off of a tabletop game.
Okay.
This is a remaster, actually, so this must have already come out a long time ago.
Oh yeah, I actually have both. Gate of Memories. So,
Yeah, this looks like 3D action RPG. Not like Souls-like, but like more like action-y combat, button mash, jump a lot sort of stuff.
yeah, so the first one came out in like 2016, it said, and the second one was 2018. But yeah, this is based off of a tabletop RPG.
Okay. So it'll be out digitally in fall for PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and a Switch 2 version next year. And yeah, remastered and even a physical edition for PlayStation 5.
So Wild Hearts S has a demo out now for Switch 2. This is the Eastern-themed Monster Hunter
And
clone
this
that came out in 2003, and I guess this S version is their
2023.
G 23, sorry. And yeah, I guess this S version is their G
their G rank, like G rank would be to Monster Hunter. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know it. I thought it just says enhanced, so I didn't know if that means it had more monsters or if it's just like a remaster sort of thing. But yeah, okay, cool.
I don't know. I just remember Phil played it and he was like, "It's fine. It's a Monster Hunter game." Persona 5, the Phantom X International version, is to receive accelerated updates.
So this is the other gacha that came out recently that isn't about horse girls. It's the Persona one. The latest Persona? Yeah, no, the other one was an SMT game. So yeah, this is the Persona one, Persona 5, the Phantom X. If you're wondering, it's supposed to be like Persona 5 Tina, it's Persona 5's world, but like new characters and like I guess Joker helps you out, and then like you've got your own little team.
Yeah, and this one has its own controversies going on right now.
Really?
Because of this very story, yes.
Oh, because of our story?
Yeah, because of this story right here of the accelerated updates.
Oh, because they're doing accelerated. Okay, why is that causing problems?
So. As you know, if you play gachas, there's sort of an ebb and flow of events where mm-hmm. you can save for some to spend on others.
Yeah.
What happens when they accelerate it?
It depends how much currency they give you to match up with the acceleration rate.
What if they don't?
Well, then it's going to feel real bad.
Bingo!
Like, there I know you go. That the Horse Girl game is accelerated, so I don't know. If it's going to feel real bad or not there, but they seem to be throwing a lot of currency at people in that game. But
Cygames has the money to do it.
Okay.
Like, to give you an idea.
So what are the money? It's digital fake currency. You just give it to the players.
Right, but if you give it to the players, they may not spend as much.
Yeah, but if they quit playing your game, they're also not going to spend as much.
Exactly. So Cygames understands it. So there's a lot of issues right now with various games where they are porting from one to the other, or you know, porting into China or porting out of China, where there are accelerated rates going on either version, and it is causing a lot of backlash in the gacha communities from one side or the other. Nikkei is actually having it going into China because Tencent, which is doing that release in China, was doing accelerated, like, major limited events back to back to back. Girls Frontline 2, Phantom X, and there's a third one that is having the same issue coming out of China where they are doing accelerated stuff from the Chinese version to the international version. So yeah, gachas, it is very interesting to see all the people going back and forth on this.
More Atelier Resleriana, more details revealed rather.
Is this
basically more characters now? This is gameplay systems.
This is the gacha or the real game?
This is the gacha that they're bringing out later this year was a paid element, I think.
No, this is a new game set in the same world as the gacha.
Okay.
That the gacha has since shut down.
Did you play that gacha, Tim?
Yes and no. I think I booted it once but didn't do anything.
Didn't speak to you. Okay.
No, I just didn't get the chance to do much in it.
Oh, all right. So this is the real version, though. This is a single-player game, so you can, like, go do the whole thing, and... Sorry, what exactly is the story? Just details. You can check out some details about, like, the game systems, how you synthesize, and just some of that stuff. But, like, you know, ultimately, you know what this is. It's an Atelier game. You're going to kill monsters and make potions, so...
Mm-hmm. And furniture.
Ooh. Okay. But that's not all we have for you. If you're into Atelier, there's a trilogy pack of the Ryza games coming.
Yep.
Later this year for PlayStation, PC, and Switch.
And Switch 2. They'll probably run a little bit better on Switch 2. We just covered the Ryza trilogy on Backtrack, and they're a set of pretty good games.
Except the second one?
We did the first one last year and then one and two this year. So
You mean 2 and 3 this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 and 3. My bad. And these are were kind of known for going on in and out of print. So now they're going to all three of them are going to be available at once. And I think that this is the best the alchemy system has ever been. I'd sit there and do alchemy for hours in these games. So no word on a release date though. Yeah, but a release later this year. So yay. Novasphere Studio reveals Elflock. This is a fantasy adventure RPG set to be released on PC in 2026. And yeah, it has a photorealistic art style that's kind of Uncanny Valley. Nobody seems interested.
No, I'm looking at the trailer. I apologize. Like, what is
This is.
the faces are weird, but I think it's because of what you said, the Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
There's a dog.
Even the dog looks weird.
What do you do in this?
It looks like you're a kingdom management sim.
It looks more like a puzzle game to me. Like she's
Why
looking
are
for
they
things.
zooming in on her mouth?
Yeah, that's the weird part. Like, it's just, man, it
This
feels
is.
eerie. Okay, it's coming out next year, and it's a fantasy adventure RPG. So the adventure usually does, in this context, means puzzles. Fantasy, obviously, because it's a, well, actually, I guess I didn't see anything fantastical about that, but maybe there's magic. I don't know. RPG, so do you go up in levels of creepy face? So you have to build relationships, engage in dialogue, and solve puzzles to find info about the nobles and win their support. Ooh, okay, so it's internal castle politics. Got it. This might be an Andy game. They better you that nobody better poison that dog. That's all I gotta say. That dog better be safe. Anyway, they're gonna have a demo later this year.
What game were you playing that had a dog get poisoned? Was that POE?
There was a cat that got killed in PoE.
Yeah, I remember
Yeah, I had to
that.
go get revenge, and I killed the people who killed that cat, and I do it again every season. No, yeah, nothing about a dog that I can remember getting poisoned. Does that happen before?
I don't know.
Oh, Hairfrog says this Elflock game looks like Eurojank to him. So maybe we'll get a playthrough.
Do we have a company?
A company?
Yeah, like who's making it?
Oh, Novasphera Studio.
All right.
They're from Hungary.
Oh, well, there you go.
I mean,
That's
they're definitely
Euro.
Euro, and the game looks like it might have a little bit of jank.
A little more than
In the good
little.
way.
I don't think it's the
It's
Maybe in
all
the
when
music, watching
Hairfrog plays it.
Hairfrog plays it.
When he plays it, it's always good. right. Legends.
Legends of
Yeah, go ahead.
Amberland 3, the Crimson Tower, has been announced.
So this
And
is.
this. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, this is an old school DOS-like
Yeah.
RPG, right?
Yeah, it looks like Ultima to me.
So first person dungeon crawler, but like
No,
also
this
in
isn't
the over.
Ultima. This is, that's more like Might and Magic.
Oh, right. My bad.
But you're on the overworld, like you're in a dungeon type crawler perspective, but like you're outside even. So it's one of those. And you've got.
We should tell Spare about these.
He probably knows. But yeah, it looks like it's going to be Steam Deck compatible, Kelly. There you go.
Oh, yay.
Not that it looked very demanding. I wasn't really worried about it working on Steam Deck, but that does mean they have to think about controller support, and I think that's important.
I just messaged it to Spare, so we'll see about
Nice.
that.
Excellent.
Yeah, because when I see the arrows on the screen, I'm like, can you control this conventionally? And I realized that was for like early mouse support, but still.
Some people like the callback, you know.
Guild Wars 2 Visions of Eternity expansion releasing in October.
Kelly, I was
Yeah.
asking for a good MMO. Like, what about Guild Wars 2? I haven't played that in forever. A new expansion?
I mean, I when I got my new PC a couple of years ago. Well, I got a new PC last year, but a while back I got when I got a different new PC, I tried out Ghost Field Wars, and it's like, this seems kind of fun. I just don't have the spoons to handle multiple MMOs at once.
So unsubscribe from WoW, Kelly.
I already did.
Oh, okay.
So what's
Unsubscribe
going?
from fake FF11, Kelly.
I can quit that whenever I want.
Sure.
So what is this? This is about an island rich with magic known as Castora. There's like a bunch of story stuff here that I guess is makes more sense in context. You're setting off on an adventure to try and learn what Inquest's goals are with the island. It includes two maps on the island of Castora, a new character build options, and three new masteries for the Skimmer mount. Yeah, I have no idea what any of this is. It's when is this expansion is set to launch on October 28th.
I watched that trailer. I don't even know they know what they're doing.
I mean, I think they do know what they're doing because they have people playing their game, but it sure looks intimidating to jump into from my perspective.
It looked weird.
So we've got some differences between the Switch 2 and Switch versions of Dragon Quest 1 and 2.
What?
And
Really?
I find it weird that they had to release some of this information because some of it just seems obvious. The Switch version of Dragon Quest 1 and 2 can be played on both the Nintendo Switch 1 and 2. The Switch 2 version
Oh, there was a rumor going around about that, so that's why.
We
Okay.
have a picture in here twice, apparently. Okay. So what they want you to know is that they're not going to do. I think the important thing to say that is confusing about all these Switch and Switch 2 versions is for new games coming up now, like. Can you just buy one version that'll work on both and you get the upgraded bits if you put it in the Switch 2 or not? And they're saying no, you got to buy the Switch 2 version if you want the Switch 2 bits, you got to buy this and also you can't upgrade the Switch 1 version. We're not doing the upgrade path thing because why? Because we're Square Enix, so screw you, that's why.
Pretty much.
And then they have save data bonus stuff, which is what? Like, what is he even about? Like,
If you basically played the Dragon Quest 3.
okay.
You get a cat suit and a dog suit.
Okay. What do those have to, okay.
They make you look like a dog or a cat.
But why? That's not even relevant to Dragon Quest 1. There's a dog character in 2 that's a It's relevant, but like, okay. I don't know what we're referencing at this point. You can claim the bonus item. What is even to get the save data bonuses for questions? So sorry, the part of what's confusing me is this picture. They've got this weird picture about like to get the save data bonuses for Dragon Quest 1 and 2 HD 2D remake on Switch 2, you will need to transfer your save data for Dragon Quest 3 to your Switch 2. Right, so it can see the save data. So, for instructions on that, go visit Nintendo's official website because they make it way harder than it should be, which that's true. They don't say that last bit. Let's see. You can claim the bonus items for both versions of Dragon Quest 1 and 2 HD Remake. What? What? Yeah? Why wouldn't you be able to? I don't know what they're saying.
I don't know either.
It's okay, Chris.
It's.
It's okay.
Oh, I see. The Dragon Quest III save data works for claiming the bonus items on both the Switch 1 version of Dragon Quest 1 and 2 HD and the Switch 2 version of Dragon Quest 1 and 2 HD. Isn't this so simple? Thanks, Square Enix. And thanks, Nintendo, for making this so easy. The whole thing about, like, these version SKUs and various versions, like, it should just be like the PlayStation's Plus content. It should be like you either got the you buy the game, and if the developer makes it a Switch 2 version of the game, you get it as a patch for free. It's done. Maybe it's built in on the cart. And they've got a Switch 1 version on there as well. But like this whole different versions is dumb. It's dumb and I hate it. And it's just, it's not consumer friendly and it makes things harder for no reason. And now we have these giant image maps of like, it's like the pre-order maps of games, you know, we used to do on like Resetera and NeoGAF, right, Kelly? Mm-hmm. You had to have a giant chart to figure out where you should pre-order a game from.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, and Severn's like, you know, if they didn't have like dumb bonus content that isn't even really relevant to the game at all, you wouldn't need these charts either. It's like, yeah, that's a good point. At least make, why isn't the bonus content something that's worth going through the effort for? And Kelly's like, I'm totally going through the effort for the cat suit. Like, okay, fine. Yeah. I understand you are.
I will play that whole friggin' game in the cat suit.
Okay, fine.
Well, it's usually armor, though, so if you get, at some point, you'll get better armor. Cause,
oh, no, it better not be armor. That would stink.
The way I read it, it just seemed like...
a cosmetic, right?
A cosmetic, yeah.
Yeah,
but if no, it's in the armor slot, oh, no.
No.
See, that's the thing, because in Dragon Quest III HD, there were armors that you could get that looked like a cat or dog suit, I forget which, but they were armors that were cosmetic. Now they did have decent, they did have stats to them, you know, don't get me wrong, they did have stats in Dragon Quest 3 HD. But
probably bad stats.
They were actually decent.
Were they end game stats? We'll see.
Do what now?
Were they end game stats?
Like mid to late game.
Mid to late, yeah. Okay, I guess that's reasonable.
So, but I don't know how these will work.
There's no way they're giving you at the mid to late game armor as a bonus that you get from the beginning of the game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Dragon Quest 1 isn't that hard, nor is it that long, so I'll bet you could do a cat suit challenge.
It should be its own speedrun category. Yes, Kelly, you can master it.
Cat suit any percent.
Any percent cat suit.
Toho Scarlet Curiosity is coming to Switch in September, specifically on September 4th. This is a spinoff of the Toho Bullet Hell franchise. And I think this was the action RPG.
Yes.
Because there was an action RPG and there was a roguelike.
Yeah, this is the action RPG. Yeah.
Well, in a few stories, I was reading through the stories. Wait just a few more.
Oh, okay. Wait, let's do it now if we can find it. Let's. Is there another Toho story?
There is.
Which one? Let's just go right into
The next story.
Oh, it's actually the next story. Oh.
Fantasy Maiden Wars Dream of the Stray Dreamer? This is another Toho?
Yeah.
Yes.
Toho Doujin Strategy RPG. Okay, so it's a strategy RPG, Toho.
It looks like Super Robot Wars.
What?
I saw the images on...
It does!
There's more to it, but it looks like Super Robot Wars. I saw that. I was like, I'm wishlisting this!
I can tell because it's a TRPG that I have no interest in playing after looking at it. It's totally like Super Robot Wars. Oh, you're going to play it, Tam, aren't you?
I'm going to play it!
Yeah. So you think it'll do the thing where they have special attacks and then they go into full anime cutscenes with the witches doing things?
Mean, you can see it right there.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It might not be as in-depth as an actual Super Robot Wars, but...
This looks really cool.
Who's making... Like, is this even still fan games at this point? What's the budget? Are these indie titles? I don't understand Toho anymore. I don't know that I ever did. This is 100% Super Robot Wars. You are so right. They're all flying, too, and like... Okay.
Well, yeah, they're all witches.
Uh huh. Oh, of course, because as you know, all witches can fly.
I mean, think about it. All the Toho, even the original Bullet Hells, they were all flying.
You're right. Oh no, yeah. this is Super Robot. We're watching the trailer. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Super Robot Wars Toho is coming in. It's already came out on the Switch, and it's coming to PC and the Switch. Oh, it was. All right, the English version of the game, which came out in 2022 on Switch, is coming to PC and Switch here in 2025. And yeah, so there you go. If you are excited for that, like, yeah, to the point where you're going to have 70 characters, so it really is a super robot game, huh?
Oh, boy. I'm eating good this year on Super Robot Wars games. I've got Super Robot Wars Y. I've got this one. That's unrelated. Oh no, that's next story.
Great Villainous, the Strategy of Lily gets a pre-release demo. This is a game about a duchess who becomes the subject of a false murder and tries to evade an imperial army, forming a partnership with a time traveling live streamer.
Mm-hmm. So this is anime trappings with voxel pixel armies in grand strategy taking over a country format. Like,
I'm interested in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I didn't know any better, I would think this was a Sting game. Because it has that art style.
I guess it's not a grand strategy, it's just a TRPG, but like whenever I see people walking around a country map, I always think grand strategy, but I guess that's not it.
The game comes out in 4 days, and it doesn't say if this demo transfers your save progress over, but you can access the prologue in the first chapter. So if it's your cup of tea, you can check it out. And that was all of the news. Now we've got new release dates.
Tam is sending me pictures of memes from the Horse Girl game, and I'm so confused now. I just noticed them. He knocked me off my game. Kelly.
Is there a Horse Girl meme subreddit?
There is a Horse Girl game subreddit, and there are many, many memes, mostly about sending grass to the... to the one horse. There's a lot
at this
of
time.
Yeah.
As far as new release dates, 9 Years of Shadows is coming to PlayStation and Xbox consoles on July 31st. This is a Metroidvania that was originally for PC and Switch.
And then
we've got Frosthaven Early Access set for the end of July. This is based off of the tabletop game that's a spiritual successor to Gloomhaven.
And this TRPG looks a lot like the Gloomhaven TRPG thing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of roguelike-y, but yeah.
The Starbytes is releasing on Japanese consoles in October. What is the Starbytes about? There's also a Western console release, but no announcement for that.
But what is it? What is it about? Okay.
Well, it looks like...
I'm just watching the trailer, and I've just seen people run around and do story cutscenes, and this is not helpful. Yeah. What is this?
I have no idea what
robots?
Kind of game it is.
You're controlling robots? You're fighting things? You're in robots? Oh, it's a mech turn-based RPG?
Oh.
Yeah?
Oh.
Yeah? Yeah, turn-based... It's the first sentence. It's a turn-based mecha RPG. The Starbytes. Physical, digital, international release by Steam, blah 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 blah. Yeah, okay. So there you go, Tim.
Yep. That is definitely up my alley.
There you go. You'd stream this instead of Nikkei.
What's wrong with you?
All right.
I mean, there's many things wrong with me. I will admit this.
And then Inazuma 11 is delayed till November. It was supposed to come out next month, and now it's going to release in November.
This is the newest Inazuma 11, which is a reboot of the series. And dislikes soccer and wishes to see it disappear. Or is this going to be like, this is your life, Charlie Brown, when you got rid of soccer? I think I meant to say It's a Wonderful Life, not This is Your Life, Charlie Brown. Why did I go there? All right. Oh, man. All right. So what do we got coming out this week? It looks like Wild Hearts S, we mentioned earlier, and Wuxiang Fallen Feathers, which is the Souls-like one. So,
some past release dates that were kind of notable. That weird Dark Pac-Man game came out yesterday.
Oh, the Metroidvania Pac-Man thing?
Yeah. I haven't
Shadow
bought it yet.
Labyrinth.
Yeah, Shadow Labyrinth. I haven't bought it yet, but I want to check it out just because I'm so curious about it.
Let's see how it's doing on Steam here. Ooh, why is this taking forever to load? Come on. Come on. Come on. Steam website. Steam. Steam. Do I have to open up the Steam client to look at the Metroidvania game? All right, let's see. Shadow Labyrinth. Oh, not loaded. We have a mixed reviews, Kelly. Let's see. We got a positive one. Da, 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 da. Positive, positive, positive. It commits several of the worst sins of Metroidvania. This is a negative one, obviously. It doesn't make you feel powerful. Upgrades are far apart. Save points are scarce, and none of the save points are outside of boss rooms, so you have to backtrack to go try the boss again. Also, I actively hate the map. I want to enjoy it, but it's fighting me. It honestly feels like it needed a few more tuning passes before release. Okay. Well, blah, 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 Shadow Labyrinth commits the worst sin possible for a game. It's boring. Okay.
Right, so. I mean that is a sin. You
yeah,
know,
sure.
For gaming.
For a video game. Yeah. Let's see. Who likes the good ones? Let's see. The trailers make the art look chaotic, but in game I found it to be nice. The soundtrack is wonderful. It's a bit of a slow start, but around the 30-minute mark, it starts getting pretty good. Man, guys, I've played RPGs that have a 30-minute cutscene at the beginning of them. Like, if it takes 30 minutes to get good, that's not very long at all. Like, what are you talking about? All right.
Once you get past the tutorial.
Yeah. Then I've also played Final Fantasies where the tutorial is like 10 hours long. So, like, how long until Final Fantasy 13 stops trying to teach you things? It's a while. I saw a comment that basically summed it up perfectly. It gets Pac-Man rating, somewhere around the 70% of a circle that Pac-Man takes up. It seems entertaining, and I decided to keep it because I want to encourage developers to dust off their old IPs and make something fun with it. Is this actually Namco developed it? Because I remember a story a while ago that, like, Namco had opened up their IPs for other people to develop, and, like, they were trying to make it really easy.
It should say up at the top.
It says developers Bandai Namco, so I don't know what's going on with that, so...
What's the name of this one?
Shadow Labyrinth. I just, yeah, I don't know. That's sad that if this isn't going to turn out good, but at the same time, I'm totally wondering, like, since this looks like an indie take on a Pac-Man IP and doing something totally different, is it actually indie? Did they acquire some people? Like, how did this work out? What's the history here? And then I stop caring and I move on to the next story.
Yeah, it's actually... I can't find anything saying it was a sub studio.
Mm-hmm. But what we can find for you is a brief history of the Inazuma 11 franchise. One of our editorials
now
that came out.
Is that an ironic brief history?
How so?
Is there a lot of games?
Well, we got Inazuma 11 is covered. Then Inazuma 11 2. Inazuma 11 3, Inazuma 11 3, the other one, Inazuma 11 Go, Inazuma 11 Go and another set, and then Inazuma 11 Go another set, and then Inazuma 11, they did like Pokemon releases. For a lot of these, they have like different colors, and you could buy two different versions.
Different players?
I guess, I don't know. Then we have Inazuma 11 RE, which is not standing for Resident Evil, but that would be more interesting if it did. That's just the remake of the first game. And then Inazuma 11 Strikers, which is a spinoff for the Wii, which I'm pretty sure that's done. They're not doing more of those, right? I don't know. And Victory Road is the new one, right? That's the one we're talking about. That's a remake. Yeah.
Oh, and response from Spare is it's on his wish list. Going nice. Back to Amberland.
For Amberland? Okay. More dungeons for Spare. Looks like we have a review of that, the poker RPG that isn't Balatro.
Pascal did not like this game.
1.5 out of 5. I had heard bad things about it as well, but ouch. Well-drawn designs for the game's ladies to lure in as many players as possible. However, Texas Hold'em rules only, and matches can draw on for a very long time. I added the word variant. I'm adding words to these reviews. Visual novel elements feel undercooked and tacked on. Collectible punishment scenes are tasteless, stomach turning, and torture the player the most. Ooh. Ouch. That sounds unpleasant if you're not into that.
Yeah, especially given the art style.
Hmm. Yeah, I thought it was just going to be another quirky poker thing like Balatro, but more RPG-like. But apparently not. or maybe it is, but not good. all right. Next up, we got Nova Hearts with Sam Wachter reviewing it. She didn't like that. 2 out of 5. Inclusive characters and themes. Animated sequences are lovely, but painfully slow battle system, sloppy writing, no spark, which is obviously referring to her horse girls not getting the spark inheritance she needs to make the super mommy that she's going to use to breed her other horse girls, right? No?
Sure.
Am I just seeing Uma Musume everywhere I look now, even when it doesn't exist? Yeah, I need help.
I think you are.
Chris, you have more problems than me right now.
I know. Except, no, I can't say anything. No, you're right. All right. Lost in Random, The Eternal Die review, which is a good game. Pascal found a good game, right?
Yay!
3.5 out of 5. Fast and frantic combat that mixes melee, card, and dice attacks. Temporary and permanent upgrades make for a good amount of run flexibility. Outstanding character art and voiceovers bring the darkly macabre cast to life. But few bosses plus a lack of shortcuts equals necessary repetition. World exploration and lore are far more sidelined this time around. This time around? Oh, this is a sequel? Oh, yeah. So it's a sequel to 2021's Lost in Random. So what? How does this work? Is this action RPG roguelike or action RPG just action RPG?
Themed roguelike since
roguelike action RPG. Okay, cool. I figured it was roguelike because of the die, you know, but there we go. But anyway, still sounds like it's good, so that's awesome. I wonder if I'll get around to these ever.
Everything is awesome.
Adventure Corner for No Sleep for Kaname Date from AI, the Somnium Files, which that's the AI is a whole game thing. And are we on? Is this the third one?
No, this is. I think this was DLC for the second one.
No, this is the third one.
Oh,
so yeah,
they say it's the
second sentence in the review. This is the third one. So this is the third one in the AI Somnium Files, which I don't want to say too much because there's a lot of stuff you can spoil in them. But like, this is. This takes place between the events of the two previous games. Aha. Though characters from both show up in it. And so this is kind of like a think visual novel / Zero Escape, but if I recall correctly, this is a much easier game than those generally in the series, but I don't know. I don't know everything. There's lots of endings to unlock and different paths to replay and try and figure out all the things, and these games always do interesting stuff around all that to once you get all the story bits and put it all together. So anyway, read the adventure review or Adventure Corner and see what you think if you want to pick that up. Then we have Lies of P Overture, Deep Look. Severance says, this AI, the Somnium Files, is more linear and half the length of the other two games. Oh, that's unfortunate. Because I feel like that's not what this genre does best, but okay. Back to Lies of P Overture. Pascal played it, and so this is a Deep Look, which I guess means because it's DLC, we're not doing a full review. So you can see what Pascal thinks about the additions and the new boss and stuff that's in the DLC. So check that out. And we have Persona 5, the Phantom X, that gotcha game we mentioned earlier. Alex Fuller wrote up an impression of it. Let's see.
Because it's a gotcha.
Does he have any conclusions? Should be treated as its own thing rather than any sort of expansion of Persona 5, he says. The structural changes needed to fit in with its original platform expectations and monetization make it a completely interactive process. It has some readily identifiable strengths, and those who do enjoy mobile service titles will likely find lots to enjoy here, but those hoping it provides a new Persona-like experience will find the gacha nature is extremely overpowering. I understand exactly what that means. So it's a gacha, and it comes with all the things that a gacha comes with, and that's, yeah.
That sounds like a pass for me.
It's not just more Persona 5.
Mm. Yeah, that I can definitely affirm too, from what I've heard.
That's unfortunate. It's got a lot of the style and menus of Persona 5 looking games, but
oh yeah, no, they the company that licensed the stuff for this from Atlus, because remember, this is completely licensed gacha. This isn't even like Atlus involved.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah, this was a licensure.
I can see that going good or bad, and it sounds like it went meh.
Oh, yeah. Well, Atlus is involved, but they're not like as involved as, say, like, if they had developed it themselves. Let's put it that way.
All right. Grifford Academy Early Access. We've got an impression for that. This is the one where people, I guess, get isekai'd into some sort of fantasy world, and they've got like their hockey equipment and electric guitar and have to go, I don't know, kill things and save the world. So see what the early access is like for that one. And then we've got of Ash and Steel impression. So you can see what Alex thinks about of, oh wait, who wrote the last impression? I should, let me give him credit. Ryan Costa wrote the Griffin Academy impression. That's Scar. And then that's Dalandar. Thank you. I said that's Scar and I was wrong because I'm an idiot. We have too many Ryans. I blame the Ryans. Fire all the Ryans.
No, hire more Ryans.
Wait, what? Why? I didn't do anything.
The first name Ryans.
Oh, okay.
You're fine.
I'm good.
Last name Ryans are exempt. All right. First of all, Tam, Alex calling you out and says Atlus is totally involved in the Persona 5 Persona gacha game. I already responded to that. Oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah. Oh. My comment is they're not. It's still they are involved, but it's still licensed.
All right. So Alex also wrote this of Ash and Steel impression, and Hairfrog jumps in and says of Ash and Steel is a contender for my streams. I love what I played of it. Oh, is this Eurojank? I don't know. Hold on. I don't like the idea of Hairfrog playing games he enjoys. I want him to be bad, but, janky games that he hates. That's more enjoyable for me, at least.
But what if it's a janky game he likes, but it's janky?
I'm supposed to be getting joy out of him suffering playing a bad game. Are you saying he's also getting joy out of playing the bad game? I don't know if I can handle that. Andy just shouted, I'm a terrible person from the other room. That I agree with. You're right. Okay, let's... What do we know, hear about of Ash and Steel, Alex? What is it? Apparently it's inspired by Gothic and The Witcher, or at least it appears to be. You're in a low fantasy game. They played a preview. And... All right. It's blah, 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 blah. It's... so it's a 3D, you know... action RPG in a giant open world like the Bethesda formulas and stuff. So, okay, read the impression for more info. Then we have all our JRPG July summary articles. We're up to 3 different ones of those at this point, and I don't know how many more are coming. 2 more, probably, right?
At least 1 to 2 more.
Yeah. And then we've got a video review roundup. So, go check out our YouTube channel where you can see reviews of Emily is Away in an adventure corner. So that's not a review, but close enough. This Way Madness Lies is a review from the Zeboid game of the name This Way Madness Lies. Man, can I say that more awkwardly? Distressed Adventure Corner, which is an adventure...
Well, you're saying Madless and not Madness.
I'm saying everything wrong. An adventure corner for the game Distress... An adventure an early access impression for the game Splintered, a review of the game Geomythica, which actually I have on Andy back that I should give that a try because it'd be nice to play an indie game. And that's it. Let's go check all those out.
I am incredibly happy that Andy liked Bark for Magia.
Yeah. No, he's been playing that like every day. I'm like, what is this game? And I'm like, there's so much stuff happening on his screen. I'm like, okay, that's a game.
I need to know if he comes to the same conclusion that I did, that this was a lost DS game that they just spit shined and slapped on the Switch.
Yeah.
Because it feels way too ambitious. It feels way too lean for a Switch game, but too ambitious for a DS game or a 3DS game.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Okay.
But I'm glad that they're enjoying it.
Hopefully they will come on the show in the next week or two and tell us about it.
Yeah, I have to know. I have to get it right from the Andy's mouth.
Andy, we've got a request for you to review Farmaggio on the stream. I have trouble saying Farmaggio because it's like Formaggio, which is cheese, and I'm just...
That's fromage.
No, that's the French.
Oh.
I think...
Well, at least I am right about cheese in some language.
Because the game did not review well.
Yeah. Formaggio is Italian for cheese. Oh, I'm sorry. I talked over you again.
No, the game did not review well, and I completely understand why it did not review well, but it's like, to a specific type of person, it's amazing.
That's the best. That's your 3 out of 5 right there. Or 2.5 out of 3.5 out of 5. I don't know, something like that. Yeah. So, like, mediocre games can either be like that, or they hit real good for the right person, or they can just... They hit not very much for anybody. Oh, problems with review scores. Anyway, mm-hmm. Hi. That's the end of the show, folks. I feel exhausted. We're back.
What's funny is this was not as long as some of the other times you have been away for, and we've had to cover multiple weeks.
We cut half the news stories out.
Oh, yeah, we cut a lot. Right.
Yeah. And I've intentionally been trying to move quickly.
There were so many news stories initially that Chrome or Firefox wouldn't let me open them all at once.
Oh no. I bet you Chrome would.
Probably.
Chrome's like, I want to use all the memory.
But it's like, damn it, Google Sheets, don't tell me what I can and can't do.
My problem when I open tabs in Firefox from Google Sheet by like highlighting a bunch of them and saying open all links in browser, it opens them up backwards.
Oh, I've just learned to go from right to left.
But in Chrome, it opens them up forwards. Yeah. So that is the only reason I open the spreadsheet in Chrome at this point, because I've switched to Firefox as my main browser for this year, which I'm sure I'll switch to another one next year, because I'm never happy about my browser situation. But like literally, that is the only reason I use Chrome for the podcast, is because of the order the links open in Google Sheets.
You need to open it in Opera and see which way.
Nah, I'm good. Opera's just Chrome underneath at this point. Okay. So they gave up their own browser engine. So, okay. That's all we've got. Remember, the games coming out this week were Wild Hearts S and Wu Chang Fallen Feathers. What are you going to play this week?
Okay. Well, we need a question of the week.
We forgot.
What game are you looking forward to in the second half of the year? I know it's kind of a base
question. That's a very base question, but hopefully people will answer this one.
Because truth be told, I don't really know what's coming out in the second half.
Well, do some research then.
Yeah.
It's all good for everyone then. We'll actually learn some things as we try to answer this question. Let's see, what else do we have? I want to know what you're going to play this week. Kelly.
More 11.
More 11. Tam.
Omamusume, Super Robot Wars, Nikkei, and I honestly don't think it'll be anything else. Because I can play Omamusume at work without feeling embarrassed.
Why? Oh, compared to playing Nikkei at work. Okay, fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Actually, I've even showed it to some of my... coworkers, and they've actually been like, I showed them some of the races, and they're sitting there like cheering, like in their
Tam. The first time I booted up Uma Musume, I set myself to invisible on Steam, and it took me like a exercise of will to be like, all right, I can publicly say I'm playing the horse girl game.
Yeah, it's not as bad as people think it sounds.
Yeah, but it sounds it still seemed embarrassing to me at first. So what to hear you say like, oh no, this is a game I don't have to be embarrassed about. I'm like, oh, it was the opposite for me. But then I remember you're a Nikkei player, and it's like, oh, that makes more sense then. All right.
Okay, I found my answer for question of the week.
Oh.
Pokemon.
Pokemon.
Pokemon Legends.
Pokemon Legends Z to A. Hate that name. I think it's a dumb name. all right, what am I going to play? Probably some more Uma Musume. I'm going to try to pull myself away from that game because I'm worried that it ends with money spending, and I don't think it's going to happen because I just don't do that with free to play games anymore, but I don't need the temptation in my life. So I might move away and get back into finishing up Pathfinder Wrath of the Righteous. And then I was thinking about maybe actually going back and finishing up Baldur's Gate 3. And then I could go back and finish up Expedition 33. And then I could go back and finish up Metaphor. And then you'll hear from me next week where I will tell you that I didn't do any of those things.
If you finish Baldur's Gate 3, we have a backtrack coming up in September.
Oh, really? Oh, that's a good motivation. Thank you.
It's like I wanted to get a second playthrough in, but man, time got away from me.
Hmm. Yeah. What I suggest is, I don't know how this happened, but like, look for Baldur's Gate 3 on YouTube once, and then you'll get all sorts of like clips and videos of various endings and interesting paths the story can go in, and it will dominate your feed.
I watched just a couple of the funniest blank character lines, and now my whole feed is Baldur's Gate.
Now you'll be 100% up to speed, and you'll know all the memes.
It's like, I just wanted to hear Asteron being sassy for 10 minutes. Yeah, I watched a video recently on the Dark Urge path, and it was like, man, yeah. I don't know if I could do that path, but that sounds interesting.
That one of the videos was like, what happens if you, as the Dark Urge, kill Karlach and do this? And it's like, oh, thank you for putting this video up, since I will never, ever, ever kill Karlach in any of my playthroughs. And that was like every comment on the video.
Well, at least someone went and did it.
Gail going, I'm thrilled you care for me so much that you're going to end my suffering first. Could you please not?
All right. I think that's it. Thanks, everybody.
That's all. We made it.
Welcome back.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for welcoming us back. Thank you for listening to the show. Leave your answer to the question, what game are you looking forward to in the second half of 2025, and why is it Pokemon Z to A, in the podcast thread at rpgamer.com. Go find the show thread, put it right there. We'll read your answer on the show. And stay tuned for Twitch things.
Kelly. Hairfrog should be on today.
All right, Hairfrog's going to be on, but Kelly, I've got a new rat hole on Twitch that is very relevant to just like this past week and not much longer, right? I think. I found a Twitch channel with a guy that's showing off the Japanese sumo tournament, like the big tournament for the year is happening, and he's simulcasting it and giving commentary over it, and then when the stream does its ad breaks, he plays Japanese commercials that are like off of YouTube, and you're like, well, wait, you could just listen to the stream's Japanese commercials. Well, it's just like Hulu. They play the same four commercials over and over all day. So instead of getting annoyed by that, him and his community have curated a collection of Japanese commercials that they play instead during the stream commercials. It's great. Sumo is so different than what I'm used to in American sports and stuff, so it's just wild, and it's fun to be part of something different for that.
I'll never forget going to Japan the first time, and Vaughn and I kind of flipping around on the TV and landing on sumo wrestling, and it's like, well, this is it. Most Japanese thing that you can do in Japan.
I don't think it's the most, but it's definitely up
there. It's up there. I watched two different sports things on Japanese TV during my trip in September of 2009. What the only reason I put the date out there is so you know kind of what sports seasons it was. The Japanese sumo tournament, which I don't know. There must be more than one because that was in September and it's July. I don't know. Like some big Japanese sumo tournament. I'm no expert on this. And then American football, but the Japanese rebroadcast, which has been edited down with like all the timeouts and stuff removed. And like, oh my gosh, football is so much better when it's edited down. And I know you can subscribe to like the Sunday Ticket, and you can get that access to that stuff. So like, but that was my first exposure to those cuts of the football games, and it's the best.
Football is also so much better live when the stadium like puts on like little mini skits during the timeouts.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But no, and then Vaughn was like, change the channel, this is boring. And then once he discovered that he could watch DS9 dubbed in Japanese.
Oh no.
That's like all he wanted to watch.
Nice. Now, for me, I was watching, the other things I would watch would be like weird dramas that mm-hmm. I had to figure out what the plot was by just seeing what was going on and context clues, because mm-hmm. they were all like...
Are we ending the show, by the way?
Yeah, oh, hi.
Sure.
Thanks, Tam. Thank you, listener. We'll see you next week, everyone. Bye.